Welcome to the Green Insider, powered by eRenewable. Each and every podcast, host Mike Niemer will bring you energy experts to help you better understand the renewable and sustainability space. Education's important to us because it's important to you, the listener. Now, here's Mike Niemer.
Welcome into the Green Insider podcast, powered by eRenewable. I'm your host, Ron Culver, and with me, as always, is Mike Niemer, CEO of eRenewable. It's episode 231, and Mike is joined by IJ Kochhar, co-founder and CEO of Li-Cycle. But before we dive into their conversation, let's hear from Mike's better half, COO of eRenewable, Ann Niemer.
Ann Niemer here, COO of eRenewable. We know today whether you're a public company, private equity, or privately held company, ESG and sustainability are important to your company. At eRenewable, we can help you achieve some of those goals. If you have any questions or need any assistance with regards to reaching your sustainability goals, please visit us at eRenewable.com to learn more. As always, thank you for listening to The Green Insider, powered by eRenewable.
Thanks, Ann. And now here's Mike with the co-founder and CEO of Li-Cycle, IJ Kochhar.
Welcome to The Green Insider podcast, powered by eRenewable. I'm Mike Niemer, your host today. And today, joining me from Li-Cycle is the co-founder and CEO, IJ Kochhar. IJ, how are you today?
Great, Mike. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate
it. Welcome. My pleasure. Welcome to the show. Since this is the first time for you, we'd like to start always with first-time guests to our show, telling us a little bit about yourself personally and what led you into your company.
For sure. Yeah. So personally, by background, I'm an engineer, chemical engineer. So grew up in the world of chemical processing, started my career actually in metallurgy. And so the tie to Li-Cycle is I was working in the lithium space back, this would be over 10, 11 years ago. And, you know, look, at that time, fast forward to today, everybody, most people know about electric vehicles, but back then it was a niche, although growth industry. And lithium, of course, it's critical for lithium-ion batteries, and it goes lithium-ion into EVs. And so that's where we were working. However, it's, you know, really at the front end of the supply chain, mining and refining. Also worked in nickel, cobalt, again, so happens all these things are used in lithium-ion batteries and in EVs. So started there, and fast forward a bit, a couple of years, we were working on these projects, technically advising folks, and kept wondering about, hey, what's going to happen to all this lithium that needs to be recycled? We were looking at other materials like copper, aluminum that are pretty mature on recycling, and not seeing both the technology and the supply chains and the business models to make it happen. So fast forward to 2016, and in 2016, we said, look, we got to make this happen. Built a lot of great facilities here, learned a lot. And that's when we left myself, my co-founder, Tim Johnston, and embarked on our journey of starting Li-Cycle.
Well, that's quite a journey. You've been in lithium space and battery space for a while now. So it takes experts like yourself to find the next generation of what makes everything better. And so at Li-Cycle, you guys are really the definition of circular economy, because as I understand it, you take that used battery and you salvage what metals are still in there that can be repurposed again. Is that correct?
You got it, Mike. Yeah, that's exactly right. So I think when people think about lithium-ion battery recycling, they think about end of life, right? You think about your devices, maybe electric vehicles, when they die, where are they going to go? And that's certainly part of what we do. We take both everything from those really small rechargeable lithium-ion batteries, like a smartwatch, phone, whatever it may be, all the way up to and including electric vehicles and bigger. But what we also take, just to help illuminate a bit, is the rejects in making batteries. So when you make batteries, it's not perfect, just like any manufacturing process. That whole industry has gone through a sea change, right? In the last 10 years, went from pretty small base to making quite a few batteries now. There's going to be way more growth even into the future. So as you do that, there's a lot of scrap. And that scrap isn't when the batteries die, it's as they get made. And so those are our two big streams. It's basically manufacturing scrap, end-of-life batteries. And that's what we take in. And then what we do through our two-step process is we basically recover the lithium, the nickel, the cobalt. I call it urban mining. I come from the mining industry, but this is more like urban mining.
Right.
And get that back in the supply chain. And that's really what we're focused on, and creating value both through reducing the environmental impact of the battery doing it in a friendly manner, but economic value as well, because those materials are very valuable and being able to recover them from that source is very creative.
Well, I want to break this down into two parts. So as they're making the original battery, there's scraps that are left over. So if you visualize if you're making something out of a 4x6 piece of plywood, you've cut out the shape, there's scraps left over. Same similar thing with the metals, is that right?
Spot on, exactly. Think of anything like leather product, et cetera. Go ahead.
So as those scraps are gathered, and I assume separated out by lithium in this pile and cobalt over here, broke out, do you blend those with the used scraps that you have left over from the used battery? Does those get blended or molded together? Or are they two separate pods?
They're actually blended together.
No different than the bottom of a crude oil tank where they've got the dirty crude oil. They blend it and heat it up with some better crude oil, and then they have something else to resell. Kind of similar fashion.
Yeah. And that's right, Mike. And, you know, what's interesting about metals is, you know, they really don't, like, these products don't really degrade, actually. So the metal's still in there, like the lithium, the nickel, the cobalt, still in there, even in the used battery. But it changes maybe its physical form, you know, how it's all together may change, which is why it affects the battery's performance. So we have no limitations, depends on the technology, but we have no limitations on blending old with manufacturing scrap. And in fact, we want to, because at the end of the day, you want to keep the plants full. So time, I'm sure you can imagine, you get more manufacturing scrap growing. And then we have, I don't know, maybe a recall, right? We don't want these things to happen with EVs, but then you get a whole lot of batteries that need to be recycled. So you got to be really nimble and flexible in the recycling industry.
Well, with that said, when you're blending the used pieces to the scrap pieces that are new, are you needing to make that blend because the scrap piece from the used battery is a little bit less than whole because it's been in a battery for so many years already and it needs to be blended better? Is that what you're trying to do? Just like my crude scenario, or not necessarily?
Not necessarily. Yeah, it's a little different than that because, as I said, there, you know, the metals are the same, basically, right? So lithium, nickel, cobalt, it's all the same. What really matters to us is actually getting, you know, the throughput up, which drives down the cost, which then over time will drive profitability. And that's what that means is you say, okay, well, how do I tackle those big volume streams? And the scraps left over from cutting the battery, the materials out, or even if they test the batteries, it may not be perfect. Even if it's 5-10% of the volume they're making, which is typically the range it's in, that's a lot of scrap. Right? So one
it's
of the,
a lot of scrap.
Exactly. One of these gigafactories that people may hear about could probably fill one to two of our existing facilities alone from one customer, from one facility. So that's kind of your base load. And then to your point, the end of life, which is growing all the time, we augment that kind of as part of our network to fill the facilities.
So let's go to the used battery. Now, are you talking the battery that comes out of a Tesla? Do you process those, or are you talking the bigger batteries, not a car battery?
We process all types of lithium batteries. So car batteries all the way down to, think of, like, I don't know, Roomba or your...
Okay, so let's just stick with an EV vehicle, okay? Yeah. End of life is how many years from when they went on the market, when they were built?
Probably 10 plus years for end of 10 life.
10 plus years. So we'll just stick with the 10, number 10. So at 10 years, end of life, what percent of that battery are you able to salvage?
95%. Up to 95% of it we're able to salvage. The 5%, you know, you have things in there sometimes like plastics or there's electrolyte in the battery, a little less easy to recover. But basically, the majority of the mass of the battery, we salvage and turn it into a usable product. Another way to think about that is, you know, the lithium, the nickel, the cobalt. How much of that do we get, right, from the battery back into usable lithium, nickel? Again, that's 95%, up to 95% sort of level recovery. And traditionally, why we got in this space when we're looking at it, traditionally, what would happen is they were processed thermally. So the batteries would be thrown into like a furnace or a kiln and they'll burn off the stuff they don't want and keep the stuff they want. And that resulted in mass recovery, back to your point, more like 50%, could be 40%. And so you're wasting a lot of all the hard work that went into making those finished materials in the battery. You know, all you need is a more bespoke technology actually designed to take this material, not to be a generalist, you know, recycler. And that's what we do. We're effectively taking all types of these lithium-ion batteries.
So the used battery, how does it get to your facility? Are you transporting it, or is the person that gathers it transported to you?
We're not transporting it. We however, support that. So give you a use case just to make it relatable. Say you have an EV and your EV is under warranty. So we work with a range of vehicle makers. And what are you going to do? Well, just do whatever you want. But a lot of people take it to the dealership and they say, hey, can you please fix my car? You know, something's wrong with it. So that's pretty common. We get batteries back from the dealer network. So say a VW or Audi or Mercedes or maybe, and then we get that back into our facilities from the dealers. And it's basically reverse logistics, if you think about it that way.
Sure.
That's a pretty common model. Now, the customer usually handles the shipment, but it came through their network some way to eventually come to us.
Okay, so now you've taken these scraps, from both the batteries and the scraps from the manufacturer. Are those used in new batteries being made or other products too?
Both. So
give me an example of the other products.
Yeah. So it depends on what we're making. So we get out, let me be very specific here. So we have two types of facilities. It's called spoke and hub. It's like a reverse logistics system, as I mentioned. The spokes are basically shredding sites. The hub is where we refine the material and make, again, lithium, nickel, cobalt. So depending on the streams, and starting at the spokes, the core technology there is how do we shred the batteries, break them down safely, right? Everybody knows lithium-ion batteries are a little volatile. Okay, how do you do that? So the way we do it is a submerged shredding. We actually shred under a liquid that prevents fire. And we get out three products. We get plastics, a shredded metal, and something called black mass. Black mass is the cathode anode material, and that contains your lithium, nickel, cobalt. So back to your question, Mike. Okay, so the plastics, we've tried super hard here, and we're getting there and finding recyclable destinations for it. Some people we're working with could take that and make a wax out of it. So that can go back into industrial applications or other applications. Plastics are pretty tough. They're probably the toughest product that we have that we make. But it'll go back in the economy, but not a battery, but back in the economy. Copper aluminum, it's recovered for the copper value. Go back in the copper supply chain. Could go back into batteries. It could go to other applications for copper. And then the black mass is really what we're after. That's the really valuable part of the battery. And that, as I mentioned, contains your lithium, nickel, cobalt. So then that today, 2 points lastly, we can sell that today and it can go into groups that make nickel cobalt metal that can go back into batteries or into the broader economy. But we're really after, and this is the second step of what we're doing, is to refine that black mass and make lithium nickel cobalt with preference to go back to new batteries. And that's what we call the closed loop. And that's a true circular economy sort of approach. So sorry to be long-winded there, but really
just that's okay.
What the product is. Yeah.
So, you know, when I have somebody on with regards to renewable natural gas, they're talking about taking their feedstock and going to anaerobic digester. Out comes the RNG. Walk the listener through a little bit of what your process is like as to how you start with the scrap and you end up with the product.
For sure. So in the spokes, if you were to walk in there today and we have photos, you know, people can see on our website, these are, you know, they're clean industrial facilities. We build them in a modular fashion. It almost looks like Lego. Why we've done that is because we know we're going to have to keep building numerous facilities over time. And basically what the heart of it is a shredding process. Okay, what's so special about that? Well, it has to do with how we shred. And one of our innovations we came up with back early in the company, 2016, 17, it's patented and it's all IP that we own have developed is, okay, how do you prevent fire? Say you have a fully charged battery. If you're to shred it dry, it will have a thermal event. It will catch on fire. And a big tenet for us was scalability, right? We don't want to eventually recycle one battery a day or two. You're not going to be able to service the industry. So how do you get scalable? is through less processing steps and less times you touch the battery manually. So by not needing to discharge the battery, by not needing to dismantle the battery, we're able to ramp up to really meet the needs of our customers. And really the heart of that is this submerged shredding. So basically imagine, you know, a dual shaft or quad shaft shredder, and you have like 15 feet maybe or more of liquid above the knives. So when the battery falls in, even a big pack basically floats down or sinks down rather, gets shred. It's happening under immersion, so you don't have a fire. The plastics rise, and then we basically skim off and recover the plastics that way. And then you're left with this mixture of the black mass and the metals. And so then sequentially through washing, solid liquid separation, we're getting off a stream of the shredded metals, copper, aluminum, and we're getting a separation between that liquid and the black mass to create the black mass itself. So that's basically, in a nutshell, that's basically the spoke process. And then secondly, and lastly, as I mentioned, we can sell that black mass like we do today to third parties. But the real prize here, what we're after, is to process that chemically and sequentially recover nickel cobalt, take out the impurities, and recover lithium. That's basically the process of the hub. And that happens through a series of leaching, precipitation, in operations like that, which are using metals, but we're applying it in lithium ion battery recycling.
Very nice. Now, tell us about where your factories are located.
Yeah, so we have factories both in North America, Europe. So we have the spoke facilities in Rochester, New York, Arizona, Alabama, and also in Germany. Our first site in Europe that we built is in Magdeburg, Germany. Just came online last August. So basically the whole idea behind that is we have over 200 battery supply customers. We're close to where the batteries are, which is where they're being made, and population centers. Take it in, shred them, make those three products I mentioned, and ideally do it in a more efficient way as we build up the facility.
Now, Li-Cycle is a public company already, correct?
Correct, yep.
And when did you all go public?
Went public in 2021.
Right after the pandemic.
Yeah, that's right.
Good for you guys. You know, our firm at eRenewable and the listeners that listen to our show, we all believe in ESG and sustainability. And it's important for us to try to support those efforts, as I know it's important to you too, because that's what your business is all about. And so as we're all trying to make it cleaner and better an environment for our kids and grandkids, hats off to your team and Li-Cycle for doing what you're doing, for contributing back to the economy first and keeping it clean second. So thank you for that, AJ.
No, thank you, Mike. And, you know, it's not easy, right? Building facilities, building physical assets, you hit bumps in the road. But the fundamentals here are, you know, our world's getting electrified, and that train's not stopping, even though headlines may say this or that. It's still a growth industry. And so de facto, then somebody's got to solve this issue. What's going to happen with all the scrap making batteries, end of life batteries? You said, got to do it in a clean way, but have to do it in an economic way. And those have been core tenets 8 years this year, been operating. So appreciate it, Mike.
Yeah, my pleasure. I mean, let's face it, as the EV market has positive conversation for it and negative conversation for it, the fact is, it's still going to grow at some rate. And I would venture to bet you're almost as busy as you can stand right now without expanding your facilities. Would that be correct?
Correct. We've had, interestingly, the last year, 2 years, I'd say, the way things have been going, there's always more batteries out there for us to service and recycle than typically we can keep up with. And that's pretty telling, even in a cycle, maybe, oh, there's less EV sales and whatever it may be. As you said, there's still growth, just depends on how much. Yeah. And that's not the end of the world when it's 20% as opposed to 30 or 40, you know, so.
Well, AJ, thank you so much for joining me on the Green Insider today. Fascinating conversation. We'll have to catch up at another time where you can give us an update on a new factory you're going to build or something. You're invited back to be able to share it with our listeners and tell us what's going on in your industry.
Awesome. Great to be on. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you. That was AJ Kochar, the co-founder and CEO of Li-Cycles. RJ, thank you so much. Everybody have a good day. Thanks again. Listeners, thank you for joining us. Have a good day.
A big thanks to RJ for joining the podcast today. And thank you all for listening. A brief reminder that if you're not yet subscribed to the Green Insider podcast, what are you waiting for? Become one today from wherever you receive your podcasts. And please leave us a 5-star rating.